do think it's also possible to go the other way, being in the present and trying to reach into the future with knowledge?
Well, actually, Wendy, that's a very good statement. I will bring up my next point. Get ready for your brains to jump. Moving backwards to now is no more different than moving forward from now to the future. It's all one thing. It's all the same thing. Think about it. If the future is already written and the past is already written, what difference does it make where you are? There's only one thing that matters. Realization. When you can realize this thought and it makes logic, you are partially enlightened. You are no longer a part of the future or of the past. By having realization, time stops. Although it appears that it's moving, you just simply choose to function in the hologram.
So you said basically control the best way to
sure.
Is it possible for us to, like, okay, now knowing this, project a message to us in the past or here to help us move along?
Correct.
But then this is also controllable from what you're saying.
Yes. It's absolutely fully controllable with an amount of time of training yourself. In 1990, or probably about 1989, I sent to myself a conscious thought at a very troubling point of my life from 1989 to 1980. At a certain point when I was sitting out in a field on a stone wall, and it was like a grassy area and stuff. And I was going through a perplexing moment, and I heard myself instruct myself clearly as to how to deal with the situation. Of which I dealt with it. It worked out perfectly. And only later in the future had I thought, reflected on that moment, and said if I could only do this, I wouldn't. I sat down and I attempted a certain method of thought to do that, to broadcast it, which reoccurred at that time. So I corrected a part of my life that not necessarily would have went that way. But do you understand? If I sent in the future to the past to change something, then I must do it again in the future and remember that I did it. If I don't remember that I did it, I won't do it. It won't never happen.
That sounds like volunteer recognition.
The future and the past are one and the same, if you can understand that. If you choose now to change your past, then your past has already been changed, and therefore it's affected you. Present.
Couldn't we?
It's already happened. Do you follow me?
Yeah. Couldn't we, like, throw ourselves off though and project one message so strongly and then totally, I mean, all of a sudden we morph into something completely different?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Is it physically also, is it just spiritually and emotionally?
The most advanced way of communicating in the universe, and I do mean multi-universes, to any alien species or human being, in my opinion, is emotion. Verbalization is no different than grunting or snooting or whatever else, okay? It is a very limited form of communication. We have X amount of words, and every year we develop new words for things that we don't have ways of describing. Other cultures have limited amount of words, other cultures have vast amounts of words that we don't even compare to, like the Chinese. Per se, they have over 2,000 more words than we have for our descriptions of everyday life.
That's what it's like.
So the point is that when you convey something, you can convey words, but let's say that words, when they travel through time and space, become distorted because they're not designed to travel through time and space. But emotion, emotional feeling, can be sent like a compressed database of volume technology, a simple feeling, can be impacted into you. Your mind will naturally understand and develop and create whatever this whole experience meant to you. You will sit and ponder on it until you understand it fully. So it's like getting a whole conversation and in a moment's feeling. You just have to reflect on it. Am I making sense out of any of this?
Yeah, very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, it's a very interesting concept, and it's fascinating when you think about it. The largest and biggest point was that I wanted to make to you was that, are you happy where you are now? Do you think that you are intelligent enough and spiritually evolved enough compared to where you will be in the future that you would choose now instead of next year or the year after or 5 years or 10 years from now, that this is the one moment that you would choose to appear to yourself and you could truly, not just yeah, yeah, okay, but truly comprehend that moment? And that's what I want you guys to reflect on, is to think, am I worthy enough? Am I? Have I been honorable enough? Have I really spiritually lifted myself to such a point in what I know of knowledge and practice, where I know that I would deserve and say to myself, this is the most honorable, biblical point of my life that got me to where I am. That this is the point where it really began to happen. And that's what I'm trying to say, is that if you chose that time, if you had an entire lifetime to choose from, and you can only pick one moment,
Why would you pick multiple?
This is purely hypothetical. We haven't really decided whether to pick multiple. Because the more times you interject yourself, the more times you take a greater risk and danger in whatever you do. Now, it's very interesting because there would be a lot of ways of doing something like this. Not enough anymore, you guys follow this. It brings me to the story of the mountain climbers that I brought up to you guys before out in Washington State. They were climbing the mountain cliffs and they found what looked like a geode, which is a stone that when you cut it open has some crystals in it. And they brought it back with them. And this is on top of the mountain, of course. And what happened was that several weeks or months later, they decided to cut the geode open just for the hell of it, and it kept breaking the sauce going through it. And what happened was they ended up bringing it to this like machine shop that had like this special diamond drill thing or whatever, and cut it open. And what they found inside was not quartz crystal or any crystalline anything. What they found inside of it was actually a spark plug from a 1947 tractor from a farm. And it's like they're really big at that time of the ancients. And don't quote me exactly on the year, 1900 or something. And the amazing part is how did it end up getting stone. One of the things it did is they carbon dated the stone was something like over 100,000 or 1 million years old that it was encased in.
Question, what was the stone that they kept breaking the sauce?
It was a spark plug. It wasn't the stone. Anyway, so the point is that how did that spark plug become encased in the stone thousands of thousands of years ago, if not millions? And if so, I mean, there's a lot of hypothetical things we could run across that possibly could have been the reason why we largely have to do with time. But one of the things I want to say, because this is something that we brought up before, I mentioned to you guys, what if one of those college students who were climbing that rock stone put the spark plug there in the casing of the stone to suggest a concept that this person would only figure out 5 or 7 years later thinking about the stone that he found? And what would it spark within him for an idea or a concept in the future? I mean, if you were going to affect the past, wouldn't you be absolutely cutting out? You'd have to be brilliant. You'd have to be brilliant.
Just in this part, that's involved. Spark.
I'm saying maybe that it's an Mandela. The modern way, that it's a form of knowledge, and when you think about it, and eventually you come to a conclusion that anybody would come to if they thought about it long, that it always leads down the same path no matter who thinks about it. They might start off with a different concept, but eventually, after you think about it for such a long time, that it's like a map, a dimensional map, you thought as a concept that takes on path to a direction that ends up somewhere. Any questions? So, That's one thing I wanted you guys to think about. I thought it was really important that you guys reflect on where you're going with everything that I'm teaching you. And if you really think that you're applying it, and instead of having me as your teacher, decision maker, judge whether you're qualified or not, for you to really ponder on yourself and to say, am I really ready? And what can I do to do more, to be more ready? That's really the highest thing. Certainly reduce the burden off the man.
Yeah,
compared to Mandela. And Mandela is...
Well, no, I know what Mandela is. Well, I guess for everybody, but can you like explain exactly what Mandela is and that you're trying to get to?
Well, the Mandela that I'm getting to is what I'm just saying, is that if you do not provoke thought in your mind, you will become stagnant water. Water that does not move is death. It creates that bacteria that poisons. It attracts mosquitoes that create malaria. It's death. When the water begins to move, it cleans, it cycles. The point is that you must have philosophy in your mind. If you do not limber your mind now, how will you ever leap from this universe to another one?
So, Mandela's mental stimulation.
Mental stimulation. But remember what I said. Brain thoughts are electrons. The brain uses energy to think. It uses electricity. We have electrical currents all over our body. You touch yourself, it's an electrical current shoots to your brain back and forth and tells you this is what you experience. It tells you all of the data that you are experiencing, touch, smell, taste, hearing, everything, is collected into electricity. You travel through all of these smell, taste, hearing, and everything. It's converted to electricity. Your soul is made of energy. It is made of electricity. You're physical, but you're hot-wired into this machine. You are two dualities. You are flesh and blood. You are energy merged to coexist. By this effect alone, we know that the body is simply designed to let the soul experience this dimension. The soul can't smell, taste, hear, or anything. It's energy. This world doesn't even exist. You can't even touch it. But through this vessel, you can experience this dimension. Thought is just as much a sense that provokes an experience. When this data is brought in, part of the mechanism that makes it a part of your soul, because why would it be converted into energy in the first place? For what purpose? Why not store it as a chemical base? Do you follow me? It's storing it as energy because it's making you bigger. It's like food. We eat food for the body, but thought and collective knowledge is turned into electricity because it feeds the soul. The soul becomes a higher tone. It's like taking the frequency of a radio and going, and the higher you go, the higher the tonal of your spirit. The more that you can conceive, the more thought, the more data you take in, becomes energy. When I say to you that most human beings have a low tone, they're just push-button robots. They're like little red cells in the body. They're workers. And the white cells are the dimensional cells. They are the cells that defend the body. They are the cells that have wisdom. They remember other battles from fighting viruses. They remember experiences. Red cells don't. So they grow. They become more powerful over time. So the point is that what I'm suggesting to you is that instead of thinking about the mundane things of life, what TV tells you, you don't think about TV. TV happens to you. Life happens to you. Somebody bumps into you and says, hey, you want a job. I mean, it happened to you. Everything in this world happens to you. The only thing that doesn't happen to you is you invoke thought. If you invoke your mind, not your brain, the brain is the machine that's running all of this, your emotions, your thoughts, your everything you don't even think about doing, it invokes your mind. Your mind raises your tonal. By me having this discussion with you raises your tonal so that you're more of a white cell than you are a red cell. That you are living and existing in the moment, in now, rather than just flopping and being a rigorous in everyday life. That the simple fact, what I said to you guys earlier, that if you can become aware of the moment, time no longer affects you. It's all interconnected, everything that I discussed. That you have to realize that. You can't just go, You have to sit there and go, my God, I see the logic of it. And it'll happen to you sooner or later if you think about the Mandela. The Mandela is what I just discussed with you. It's all this knowledge that is condensed, and as you think about it, and you apply it to your other thoughts, it just makes things all link together, and you go, oh my God, you start having a brainstorm, and it starts making more and more sense with everything else you've thought about in your life. You just were missing that piece. That's a Mandela.